Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you. hope you enjoyed, okay, the praise and worship service. All right. Now, let's get into the message, okay, for today. Amen. Let's start out with prayer. Oh, Lord, oh God, in exaltation of our hearts, go out to you and your revelation of heaven, your revelation of the Spirit, who can fill our hearts so that we remain steadfast throughout our earthly life, Lord. It is still dark on earth, Lord. Sin and death hold away, Lord. But we stand unafraid and seek repentance, Lord. Despite all our failures, we look to you, Lord, and to know you are our Savior, Lord. You send us Jesus Christ in your own glory, Lord. The world will be filled with light, Lord. Everywhere on earth, Lord, even among those who do not know you, the sincere hearted will come to acknowledge that you, Lord, the Father of Jesus Christ and our Father, our God, over all the world, Lord. You will show your glory to all people so that they may come to you, Lord, worship you, Lord, and walk in the light, Lord, to the everlasting glory of your name. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Let's do a little introduction here. Tonight's series, okay, and sermon title is What to Do During Difficult Times. And it's a study of the book of James. And we're going to be taking this out of James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Amen? Introduction. Ravi was born in 1953 in India into a wealthy family of wealth, as they were in the second highest caste, lower than the priest. Destined for comfort and great opportunities, he was devoted Hindu. The village rejoiced with the family at his birth, especially since male children were seen as treasured by Indian culture. But at the age of 3, Ravi was stricken with polio. His parents were devastated. They spent a fortune giving Ravi the best medical treatment. At one point, the young boy spent 9 months in a total body cast, but his condition did not improve. Abandoning medical solutions, his parents turned to the village gods. His father had 2 expensive temples built for the gods, yet Ravi did not improve. Ravi's parents began to see him as a burden. He had to have 2 people to look after his needs, including 1 person who was responsible for carrying him wherever he needed to go. None of the Hindu gods heard the prayers of Ravi and his parents. His condition worsened and he became completely disabled. After all the work, sacrifices, and money spent on their son, his parents concluded that Ravi would not walk the rest of his life because he had bad karma in previous life. Karma is a Hindu fatalistic concept that necessitates reincarnation. The conditions of each successive life are determined by one's bad or good deeds in past lives. It's kind of a universal law of cause and effect that determines fate or destiny. Each person must suffer for his own deeds in the past life. Ravi suffered as a young boy and was crippled because of his bad deeds he had committed in previous life. Ravi spoke of the difficulties of his childhood. I saw how much my parents enjoyed my brothers and sisters, but they did not want to be around me. They would tell our housekeeper to carry me away from the rest of the family on special events. I was driven almost to the point of nervous breakdown. Balance is defined as a mental steadiness or emotional stability, habit, or calm behavior or judgment. Today's scripture, James chapter 1, 1-4, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion readings, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And yet, unless steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. See, there are 2 truths you need to know better equip you to handle difficulties. Trouble is unavoidable. So count it in all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. That's James chapter 1, verse 2. Okay, as gentleman, a gentleman was on his way home in the subway. He was prone to motion sickness to begin with. He had a big lunch and worked in the afternoon. It was a bit of an upset stomach. He was jammed in the subway as the last person able to get on. The door automatically opened and closed with the motion and the strutting and stopping of the subway. So there he was standing at the glass doorway, watching out where as things were flashing by at 90 miles per hour. The longer he stood, the sicker he got until it came up to a stop where it wasn't his place to get off. But another fellow was waiting on the platform in order to get on the subway. The door opened up, and out came his man's lunch all over the man. He threw up all over the random stranger. The door closed, and the thing went right on. The fellow standing on the platform was suddenly standing with another man's lunch all over his body. He turned around to the man behind him and asked, "Why me?" See, trials are inevitable. If the door wasn't open on you this time, it will the next time. The word various in verse 2 can also be translated as multicolored. Some trials are family-related, while others are job-related, so be ready. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as through something strange were happening to you. That's 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Indeed, the better Christian, the more severe the trials he may have to encounter. For example, the Bible says that Job was a blameless and upright man who feared God and turned away from evil. Yet in one day, Job went bankrupt and family to finances. He lost his sheep, his servants, his oxen, his donkeys, his sons, his daughters, all in one day. I think about Daniel, who prayed 3 times a day to the Lord. Probably 3 times as much as the average Christian prays, and all he got for praying was a free trip to the lion's den. I think about Joseph, a man of unquestioned integrity, decency, loyalty, and purity, who was thrown into prison for something he did not even do. And then I thought about the Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian in the New Testament, next to the Lord Jesus himself. Listen to how Paul describes some of the things he went through as a lover of Jesus. Are they servants of Christ? I am better this is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 27. Are they servants of Christ? I'm a better one. I am talking like a madman with far greater labors, far more imprisonments with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews, the 40 lashes, less 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked, and night and day I drifted at sea on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. Okay, in toil and hardship through many sleepless nights and hunger and thirst, often without food and cold exposure. You see, you think you have problems? Troubles have a purpose. Okay, in James chapter 1, verse 3, for you know that testing of your faith produces steadfastness. So we go through tests. The word trial is a test to discover the nature and quality of a person. We do not know if our faith is genuine until it stands up under the test. See, you can buy a jacket that claims to be waterproof. If you wear it on dry days, you have not put the jacket to the test. The test of the jacket is, if you get caught in a downpour, does it keep you dry? If it does, you say, that's a good jacket. It's easy to proclaim, I trust in God. Anybody can say that. But the test of your faith is when you really do choose to trust God in a severe trial. Afterwards, you know that your faith is genuine because it has brought you through the trial. Everyone faces trouble, but the trouble will make or break the person. In this, you rejoice through now a little while we're going to read 1 Peter, chapter 1 through 6 and 7. And this, you rejoice through now for a little while, as was necessary. You have been grieved by various trials, so that the test genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, perishes, though it tested by fire may be found in to result in praise and glory and honor of the revelation of Jesus Christ. So trials teach us steadfastness, or spiritual toughness, or to hang in there when there is no answer. John Piper in Future Grace relates the amazing story of Marie Durand from Carl Osland and Passion. In the late 17th century in southern France, Marie was brought before the authorities and charged with the Huguenot heresy, being a Reformed Protestant. She was 14 years old, bright, attractive, and marriageable. She was asked to recant her Huguenot faith, but she was not asked to commit an immoral act, to become a criminal, or even to change the day-to-day quality of her behavior. She was only asked to say, "I recant." She refused. Together with 30 Huguenot women, she was put into a tower by the sea and left there for 38 years. She and her fellow martyrs scratched on the wall of their prison tower the single word "resist." Tourists still see and gape at the word on the stone. Olson reflects, "We can understand a religion when it enhances time, but we cannot understand a faith which is not nourished by the temporal hope that tomorrow things will be better. To sit in a prison room for 30 years and to see the day change into night, the summer into autumn, to feel the slow systemic change within one's flesh, the drying and wrinkling in the skin and loss of muscle tone, the stiffening of the joints, the slow stupefaction of a sense of feeling, and all this, and still to preserve some almost idiotic degeneration in which no capacity to wait and to endure." The word for testing in verse 3 comes from the word that is means approved. Archaeologists have unearthed ancient pottery that was marked approved on the bottom. It was a stem of the same word used in verse 3. It used to communicate that pottery had been put through the fire. Its items that did not have this marking were placed on the budget shelf and were sold as defective. The items that had this marking of approved had gone through the fire without cracking. So God gives us trouble in order to develop patience in us. The purpose of the troubles is not only to develop our patience and steadfastness, but also to meet those troubles with joy. People who have deep Christian character are people who know how to live life in the furnace. And so it is the mother who is able to say to God, "You gave and you take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." It is the father who did everything possible to keep his job, but has lost it. He gathers his family and thanks God for the opportunity to trust him. It's a teenager who says, "I will not give up my standards to no one seems like me. Here are three attitudes to adopt to get you through the tough times." Each of these attitudes come from the verse in front of me. Count. Count it all, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, as James chapter 1, verse 2. You see, when troubles come, we are to consider these trials with a certain mindset. The mindset is joy. We are to have a positive attitude with enduring difficulties. We are to say, "God has a trouble in my life for a reason." This radical attitude does not require denying emotional pain. Jesus wept when his friend Lazarus died. This is not about putting on a happy face and denying that you are hurting. This attitude is a radical and prior decision to the trouble turning trials into triumphs. Okay? It's done best before the trouble comes and not in the midst of the trial. Everyone needs an international dateline which crosses in reference to life's test. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, "Who for the joy was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and seated at the right hand of the throne of God." So second is comprehend. "For you know the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." That's James chapter 1, verse 3. I need to comprehend the purpose of the trial. This is not for my bad, but for my good. The purpose of the trouble is to see me swim and not drown. And then thirdly is cooperate. Okay? And that's in James chapter 1, verse 4, "Let steadfastness have its full effect, and you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." See, you must not fight, but let difficulty it have its course with us. The verse implies that God is using the trials for his purpose. He is not sitting in heaven saying, I didn't want that to happen, but now that it has happened, let's see how we can make the best of a bad situation. Scripture is clear that God is sovereign over everything from rain and snow that fall, okay, to seemingly random events, to the events of nations. On a personal level, He ordained all the days of our lives before we were ever born. He fashions our hearts and others our steps. The Bible affirms that God is sovereign over birth defects, natural disasters, and even other evil things that people do. Although He is not responsible for their sin, okay, it robs people of comfort and creates a very scary world where evil is out of control. To deny God's sovereignty over trials because it denies that He is purposely working those trials for our ultimate good. So humble yourselves, therefore, okay, from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. We are to yield, cooperate with God. When we yield to God's mighty hand, we will have its full effect upon us. What is this effect? Maturity or perfect? The word can also be translated complete. There is no part missing. Well, that concludes this sermon. So let us pray. Oh, Lord God, we thank You for everything You allow us to see and hear, Lord. May our hearts become awake and alive through all we receive so that we await Your final revelation and recognize Your ultimate will for all people, Lord, for all nations and races on earth, Lord. Hear us in these days, Lord, for we know Your kingdom is coming, Lord. Your kingdom is before our eyes, Lord. Your word, your help is coming. And in Jesus Christ, light will dawn for all the world, Lord. Praise and honor to You for all You do. May we see it all before our eyes so that our expectation of last days is a living expectation, Lord, full of joy and blessing, Lord. We want to wait in joy, Lord, and love, Lord, and longing for the day is coming to Your glory, Lord. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this brings me to the most important question of all. And that is, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior? If you do not, that is okay, because in a moment you will get a chance to. But let me ask you, are you tired of going down this road and of not knowing where to go or what's up or down? Okay, maybe you feel like you lack purpose in your life, but you're seeking purpose. Okay, maybe you suffer from depression or anxiety. Or maybe you suffer from something worse, as an addiction to alcohol or drugs. Okay, or sexual immorality. Okay, gambling or overeating. Whatever it may be, the Lord can take it away. But in order to do so, okay, He has to know you. Jesus can't do nothing for you if He doesn't know you. So that brings me to the question, do you want to know the Lord Jesus this evening? Okay, if so, simply say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept You out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear You knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive Your gift of salvation. And I am so ready to trust You as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank You, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe You are the Son of God who died on the cross at Calvary for my sins and then rose from the dead on the third day. So once again, I want to say thank You for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe Your words are true, so please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you said that prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministries want to welcome you to the family of the Lord. And we want to say, may the Lord bless you, and may He always keep you highly favored. Amen. And if you said that prayer, okay, And if you said that prayer, we would like you to call in to area code 657-383-1487. That's area code 657-383-1487. And let us know that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Because, you know, be that first caller, because one can trickle in 10. 10 can trickle in 100. 100 can trickle in 1,000. See, right now, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all the angels, and everyone in heaven is rejoicing that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. So won't you let us rejoice with them? Amen. All right. Let's play some more music. We're going to play something a little different than we were playing before. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
coming to a close of the service. Okay, I hope you enjoyed all the praise and worship music that I played today. Okay, I hope you enjoyed the sermon. It was a blessing to you. Okay? So let's go out with a prayer. Lord God, thank you for letting your light shine every day and every year, Lord. Thank you that we may always lift our eyes to you, Lord, whose right hand will bring true order to everything, Lord, even in difficult times, Lord. Give our hearts the strength to be faithful in this age, Lord, the strength to glorify you, Lord. For you remain, Lord, no matter what happens on earth, Lord, you are our God, Lord. You have sent us a Savior, and we can draw close to you, Lord. Your promise to us stands firm, the promise of your day with this truth and justice shall come, Lord, to honor of your name, Lord. May many people turn their hearts to you, Lord. May they worship you and call you your help, Lord, to the glory of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, like I said, I hope you enjoyed today's service. It was a blessing. Okay? All right. Okay. So, okay, until Tuesday night, we're going to say goodbye. Okay, Tuesday night at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, we're having an episode of Purpose Gospel Radio. We take off on Mondays. Always on Mondays we take off. Okay, it's kind of like our Sabbath day. Okay, so we'll see you then Tuesday night. God bless you all. Have a blessed night. Bye-bye.